All right, well, good morning. Hey, welcome to Faith Point. We're glad that you're here. My name is George. I'm the pastor, and we're super glad that you have chosen to come and spend a portion of your weekend with us as we celebrate God's goodness and we reflect on His Word that reveals to us who He is and who we are and the kind of people that He wants us to become. Well, this is a very special day in the life of the church all throughout the world because today is a day called Pentecost. Now, if you were not raised in the church, that word probably means nothing to you. And so we're going to start off today with a little bit of history, a little bit of history lesson. What is it about Pentecost? What does it mean when we say today is Pentecost Sunday? Well, when we read the Old Testament, we discover that Pentecost was one of the Jewish feast days. Only they didn't call it Pentecost back then. The Jews called it the Feast of Harvest or the Feast of Weeks. It was the celebration of the beginning of the early weeks of harvest because they were an agrarian society, an agrarian culture. And so in Palestine, there were two harvests every year. The early harvest came during the months of May and June, and the final harvest came later on in the fall. Well, Pentecost was a celebration of the beginning of the early wheat harvest, which meant that Pentecost always fell sometime during the middle of the month of May or June, sometimes early in June as it is this year. For Christians, Pentecost is a Christian holy day that celebrates the coming of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, 40 days after Easter. So hard to believe it's been 40 days since we celebrated Easter. Before Jesus was crucified, He was teaching His disciples, and He told them that the Holy Spirit would come after Him. We read these words from John 14, verses 16 through 18. He says, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive Him because it isn't looking for Him and it doesn't recognize Him. But you will know Him because He lives with you now and later He will be with you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you." Well, 40 days after Jesus was resurrected, the words of Jesus were fulfilled when Peter and the early church were in Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost. And in Acts 2, verses 1 through 4, we read this account that must have been a spectacular event. He writes, "On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability." So for the early Christians, the early believers, and ever since, Pentecost changed everything. One author has put it this way. On the day of Pentecost, a Jewish festival 7 weeks after the Passover that celebrated the spring harvest, God poured out His Holy Spirit upon the believers who were waiting in prayer in Jerusalem as they had been instructed to do by Jesus just before He ascended to heaven. And God has been pouring out His Holy Spirit in the lives of willing believers who seek to live for Him in love and obedience ever since. On the day of Pentecost, God moved from the throne room of heaven to sit on the throne of those first believers' lives and the lives of all who had invited Jesus to be Savior and Lord ever since. On Christmas, God became personal, living among us in flesh and blood. On Pentecost, God became intimate, living within us to change us and to change our lives. You see, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, it's why Scripture always refers to the Holy Spirit as He, never an impersonal it, but He is the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is the power of God that transforms our lives. Without the Holy Spirit filling us with His power, we are left to our own efforts to be good people. Without the presence of Jesus in our lives, we're left to practice religion. doing our best to live a life that pleases God. And if there is one thing in life that I have learned about this, it is that in my own strength, I fail miserably to lead a holy life. And my guess is, if you were really honest, you'd be able to say the same thing. I am utterly dependent upon the Holy Spirit for living and becoming all that God wants me to be. You see, the Holy Spirit is the personal presence of the triune God. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one being. The Holy Spirit is not some disembodied force in the universe. The Holy Spirit is Jesus living in our hearts. The Holy Spirit is the Father shaping our lives to be like His Son. And the good news of Pentecost is that we don't have to work as hard to make our lives holy. God will do the work. He will do the work of transforming us as we welcome the work of His Holy Spirit, the presence of Jesus, into our lives. And that transformation, that possibility, is absolutely astounding. In fact, it's bigger and better than astounding. It's miraculous what God will do in our lives as we submit our lives and our loves to Him. And so, with today being Pentecost, it is perfectly coincidental, because I didn't plan it this way, but it's perfectly coincidental that as we continue to hear the voice of God through the prophet Zechariah, we are given three amazing principles that reveal what the Holy Spirit can and wants to do in the lives of believers. And so I want to invite you to hear these words from Zechariah. Our sermon series that we have been working on is just simply called Voices. And over the last several months, we have been digging into the minor prophets of the Old Testament, hearing the word that God had for us, hearing the voice of God calling us and drawing us back to Himself, so that we could be and become the people that God created us to be. And so as we have been working our way through Zechariah, we're at a place in this book where Zechariah has been taken on a journey in the middle of the night. And he has been given eight visions by an angel. And he has now written those visions down for us because it's something that he is convinced that God wants us to know, because there's something really important in each one of these visions, not only for the people in 520 BC, which is when Zechariah was originally written, but they're words for us today. And so in this vision, Zechariah is going to pull the curtain back, and he's going to give us a glimpse of what the role of the Holy Spirit was then and what the role of the Holy Spirit is going to be in His fullness when He comes, when Jesus sends Him, when Jesus is ascended into heaven. And so this is a vision where we get some amazing principles about what life can be like for us as we submit our lives and our loves to the Holy Spirit. So we're going to look at Zechariah chapter 4, and it's the whole chapter, and it's only 14 verses. So let's read this together. Then the angel who had been talking with me returned and woke me. And though I had been asleep, "What do you see now?" he asked. I answered, "I see a solid gold lampstand with a bowl of oil on top of it. Around the bowl are seven lamps, each having seven sprouts with wicks. And I see two olive trees, one on each side of the bowl." Then I asked the angel, "What are these, my Lord? What do they mean? "Don't you know?" the angel asked. "No, my Lord," I replied. Then he said to me, "This is what the Lord says to Zerubbabel. It is not by force nor by might, my strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Nothing, not even a mighty mountain, will stand in Zerubbabel's way. It will become a level plain before him. And when Zerubbabel sets that final stone of the temple in place, the people will shout, 'May God bless it. May God bless it.'" Then another message came to me from the Lord. "Zerubbabel is the one who laid the foundation of this temple, and he will complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of heaven's armies has sent me. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. The seven lamps represent the eyes of the Lord that search all around the world. Then I asked the angel, what are those two olive trees on each side of the lampstand? And what are the two olive branches that pour out golden oil through the two gold tubes? Don't you know, he asked. No, my Lord, I replied. Then he said to me, they represent the two anointed ones who stand in the court of the Lord of all the earth. So let me bring you up to speed. What's happened is that God's people have now been given permission to return back to their homeland. They have been in Babylonian captivity for the last 70 years. You see, the people of God had, because of their disobedience, God had allowed other world powers to take them over. The Egyptians, the Babylonians, the Assyrians, and now we reach the Persians. And under an edict by Cyrus, he says to the people of God, you get to go home. You get to go home. And so this large group of folks, estimates are somewhere between 30 and 50,000, but it only represents about 20% of the people of God actually left captivity to return home. To return home, to rebuild their lives, to rebuild their homes, and what was really most important, to rebuild the temple. Because the temple was the place where the very presence of God was said to reside with the people. And so the major task of the people coming back to their homeland was to rebuild the temple. They didn't do a very good job at it. As we have talked about over the last few weeks, they saw it as a pretty big, overwhelming task. They started, and then they just fell off. And so for about 15, 16 years, nothing was done. And so God now raises up Zerubbabel and Zechariah, a prophet and a priest, to come back to lead the efforts, using Ezra and Nehemiah and others to rebuild the temple, to rebuild this place where the very presence of God was going to reside, where the people could center their lives once again on Yahweh, the God who has revealed himself in the Old Testament. And so they have this huge, formidable task before them. And what Zechariah is telling us in here is that the job is going to get done. The temple is going to get rebuilt. No matter the obstacles or the oppression, no matter the difficulties or the detours, the temple is going to be built. And that temple will stand as the place where God's people once again are able to worship God in their midst, in their presence, where they believe now the very presence and power and provision of God will once again bless them as they have been able to return home. But they have this big task ahead of them, to rebuild the temple. And in this vision number 5, what I see is Zechariah has laid out for us what I think are 3 amazing principles. Amazing principles that when we cooperate with and are in tune with the Holy Spirit, the very presence of God in us, that we can see we can do way more with the Holy Spirit than without him. That we can do way more as we tap into the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives than we could ever accomplish on our own. And then what we're going to see is God blesses even small beginnings. Because you know, every great movement of God has always really been started with one person. So God does great things even with one person. Can start major movements. So let's dig into this. And I want to dig in this by really focusing in our first 2 principles on 2 verses. Now, again, there's lots of metaphors and there's lots of pictures in here. But what I want to do is I want to kind of move through that. And I want to see what exactly is it that we can take from a couple of these verses that can really be applicable in our lives, that can make a difference in our lives if we will tap in to the possibility of what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives. And so the first 2 come from Zechariah 4, verses 6 and 7. And so I want to read those again, and I want to draw special attention, because if you look in your message notes, what you will see is that there is a place in there that really has been highlighted. Verses 6 and 7, it says, it is not by force nor by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Nothing, not even a mighty mountain, will stand in Zerubbabel's way. It will become a level plain before him. And when Zerubbabel sets the final stone of the temple in place, the people will shout, may God bless it, may God bless it. So look at those verses. It is not by force nor by strength, but by my spirit. So what God is communicating to Zechariah is that it is about what I'm going to do that's going to accomplish this. And so the principle number one that I want to lift up to you is that impossible obstacles are incredible occasions for God's spirit to supply what we need. Principle number one, impossible obstacles are incredible occasions for God's spirit to supply what we need. And this is true in every facet of our lives. It's true in every facet of our lives, is that when we give God the opportunity to show up and show off in our lives, he can accomplish way more than we could ever try to do on our own. Bill Arnold, in his book, Encountering the Old Testament, said, God may call us to do difficult tasks, but through his Holy Spirit working in us, we can accomplish his purpose. Again, that's a reiteration of what we see all throughout Scripture, is that there are amazing opportunities that we have every single day. And there are amazing things that we can accomplish, but generally, the really big things, we can't do those on our own. That we really need the help of God to really be able to accomplish those things. And so what we see throughout Scripture are echoes, like places in Philippians 4:8 that says, if we will fix our thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable, in other words, if we just fix our eyes on God, if we will fix our eyes on the possibilities and the power of God in our lives, think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise, we will accomplish and can accomplish way more than we could ever do on our own. Because impossible obstacles are incredible occasions for God's Spirit to supply all our needs. So what do? When we face that impervious mountain, when we look into the horizon, when we look into the future, and we see something that's way too big, that it's an obstacle that we're trying to figure out, what in the world can we do to either get over it, to get around it, to go under it, to knock it down? What do we need to do to get from point A to point B? How do we actually do that in our lives? And that can be applicable in every area of our lives, right? It could be a business that you're attempting. It could be a coursework that you're attempting. It might be a degree that you're going for. It could be anything that you are attempting. We have two basic options, I think, when we face a mountain before us. The first one, I think, is our default. I think this first one is the place that we all go to right at the very beginning, and that's rely on your own strength. You know what this says? I got it. I see the mountain. I know where I'm going. I got this. And so we attempt that. And there's nothing wrong with that. Inherently, there's nothing wrong with us doing our part. Because actually, when we look at Scripture, we see this theme over and over again, that God does his part when we do our part as well. So there is something very positive to be said about us doing our part. But when we do our part and take God out of the equation, then our possibilities become severely limited. And so when we face a mountain before us, we have these two options. Number one, we can rely on our own strength, saying, I got this. Or we can trust in the Spirit's power. And that is the best choice. That is saying that I believe that I can do more with the power of God working in, with, through, and in spite of me than I can do all by myself. That when I look at that mountain and it seems formidable and it seems like I don't know what I'm going to do, it might be a storm, it might be a difficulty, whatever it is, when we look at that and say, okay, I can do my part, but I'm not going to rely strictly on me, I'm really going to tap into the power and the possibility and the presence of God's Holy Spirit in me, then we can accomplish way more than what we could ever do on our own. Because God specializes in making impossible obstacles occasions for his Spirit to supply everything we need. So that's the first principle that we see. Zerubbabel, smart guy. Zerubbabel and Zechariah in his corner were saying, we're going to be able to build this temple. Zechariah says he's not only going to put the first stone in, he's going to put the last stone in. So this temple is going to get built. And what we see historically, actually, is the temple got built super fast because they knew that when they tapped into the power and the presence and the possibility of the Holy Spirit in their life, they could accomplish way more with him than they could without him. And so if you are facing an obstacle in your life, if you are facing a mountain that you're thinking, I have no idea how I am going to get over this, whatever that may be, while your default may be, I got this, I want to encourage you to try something, to ask the question, what might happen if I actually trusted in God's Spirit to get me to that other place? And again, that could be in any arena of your life. I've been talking to online with a colleague. He's one of the pastors on staff at Northside, and his daughter came down with this really bad headaches, and in the course of 1 month's time, she's gone from being happy-go-lucky, awesome, you know, running around to she's got several tumors growing in her head, and it's been growing super fast. And I have been amazed looking at what he's been writing and the people that have surrounded him and been praying with him and praying over them. And just this confidence that he has of just coming back and saying, I am trusting. I am trusting. He is positioning himself to trust in the very power and presence and possibility of the Holy Spirit. And we do that around here too, right? We've been doing that with Sunny, with her two boys when they were born, right? Where they were born prematurely, 2 months premature. They're 4 months old as of Thursday of this last week. And they've had huge obstacles. But you know what we've been doing every day? Because I know you've been doing this with me. We've been praying every day for those boys, right? We've been praying. And you know what? God's doing great things there. Because we are trusting in what God can do to get us through and to the other side. So the first principle is impossible obstacles are incredible occasions for God's Spirit to supply all that we need, just as he did for Zerubbabel, just as he did for Zechariah's day, just as he will do for us. I think a second principle that we can see in these two verses is this. God will accomplish his purposes through his people by the power of his Holy Spirit. I should have added onto that either the easy way or the hard way. Because we do that, right? God's will be accomplished, right? God will accomplish his purposes through his people by the power of his Spirit. And that can either go easier for us or that can go really hard. Because if we try to go against what God wants to do, it is like proverbial hitting the wall, right? Over and over and over again. And so what we see in this text is that Zerubbabel says, I am cooperating with you, God. You have called me to this task. I will do my part. I will encourage the people. I will be right alongside with them. We are going to lay the foundations of this temple, and we're going to see it through until the point where I put that final stone on top of that temple, and we will rebuild this temple. Jesus told us in Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. In Philippians 2:13, it says, God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. What's the common word? Power, right? That when we tap in to the power of God in our lives, is that we can claim that power and we can use that power to accomplish the purposes that God has set before us. Because as Philippians 4:13 says, we can do everything through Christ who gives us strength. You know what other word we could use there? Is that when we tap in to the very presence of God in our lives, as I talked about in the introduction, where God comes and takes up residence in our lives, the very presence of God as the Holy Spirit comes and resides in us, we can do more with him than we can without him. We can do more with his power than we could ever attempt to do on our own. And as verse 7 says, Zerubbabel will complete the task. The temple will be built. Walter Kaiser, an Old Testament scholar, in his commentary, Mastering the Old Testament, says, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's provision and power. Do you believe that? I believe that. Is that God's work, whatever God has called us to do, done in his way, will never lack his provision and his power. So, a couple moments ago, I asked you the question, when there is a mountain before you, you have two options, right? You can rely on your own strength or you can trust in the Spirit's power. Well, when there's a mountain before us, God has two options. He's either going to flatten the mountain, because he can do that, right? He's either going to flatten the mountain or, and I actually think this is the one where he operates the most, is that he will give us the faith to climb over it. He's either going to flatten that mountain or he's going to give us the faith to climb over it. And again, I think that's the place where God tends to operate. He says, my strength is all you need. I will get you from point A to point B if you will tap into me. See, God's not always going to take the storm away, but God's going to give us the ability to either work through the storm or go around the storm. But he will give us the power and the possibility to get through it if we will trust in him, if we will have the faith to climb over it. Now, when we read the Old Testament and we see how the people of God have over and over and over and over and over again not done what God told them to do, God was super faithful. He's like, all right, we're going to try again. And they were slow learners. We're like that too, aren't we? When we look more and more at what the possibility is, when we tap into the power and presence of God to get us through the storm, to have the faith to climb over the mountains or to go around the mountains, we will get to the other side. And by the way, when we do that, we'll get to it quicker than we will trying to do it all on our own. So principle number two is that God will accomplish his purposes through his people by the power of his Holy Spirit. When we read scripture, let me take you to the end. Revelation 21 and 22, guess what happens? God's purposes are fulfilled. It takes us a while to get there, but God's purposes will be fulfilled. The easy way or the hard way? And I will tell you, when you begin to read scripture, do you know why it's so hard? Because we make it hard. Do you know why it's so hard for the people of God to get to the place where God wanted them to be? They made it really hard. They're like, I got this. I will take care of this. God, I will call you and I will let you know if I need you. And I think the more that we as the people of God both recognize and tap into the power and presence of God with us, the Holy Spirit with us, we would accomplish way more than what we could ever possibly imagine. If we would stop saying all the time, I got this, instead of saying, God, I do not have this apart from you. I need you. Help me to see you more clearly. Help me to fix my eyes on you. If you say go right, I'll go right. And I'll do it when you tell me to go. If you tell me to stop, I will stop. If you tell me to jump, I will jump. But I will be as attentive as I possibly can to where your Holy Spirit is leading me in my life right now. So, two amazing principles that we find in two verses. Impossible obstacles are incredible occasions for God's Spirit to supply what we need. Principle number two, God will accomplish his purposes through his people by the power of his Holy Spirit. That is his promise. And then in verses 8 through 10, we find one more principle that I want to lift up to you today. So I'll remind you of these words, and I love these verses. Then another message came to me from the Lord. Zerubbabel is the one who laid the foundation of this temple, and he will complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of heaven's armies has sent me. So don't miss this next verse. Do not despise these small beginnings. For the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. Like you see the picture, right? Zerubbabel's got that plumb line where he's measuring out what the foundation of the temple is going to look like. That's an early work, right? That's a small beginning work, right? That's not lifting the stones yet. That's not digging. That is like just laying the line so that you can get there. Because there's an amazing, powerful principle in here. Because oftentimes when we get started to do something like what they were trying to do back then to rebuild this temple, rebuild their lives, rebuild their homes, the obstacles looked huge. Like I know in my house, when my kids' rooms get like a bomb went off in there, does anybody else have rooms like that? Oh, you are not telling the truth. That everybody has a kid who's like literally, it exploded in there, right? And you're just like, how in the world are they going to use? And you're like, clean up your room. Have you ever got this? I don't know where to start. Like, let me help you. This right here, put it away. That right there, throw it away. Right? And throw that away, and throw that away, and right? But here's the point, because it's the same point here. God loves to use small things to accomplish spectacular results. Parents, if you want to get your kids' rooms clean, start with small things. One thing in one corner and start there. And then you work out, right? And it's amazing. You get about this much room, at least it is in my house. If I get about this much room, I'm like, we have like accomplished something big. Well, what Zechariah tells us here is that it's the same thing, that God loves to use these small things to accomplish spectacular results. That is so biblical, by the way. Luke 17:6 says, if you had faith, get this, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed. Now, even though George means farmer, and really, like, never fits my life. But do you know how small a mustard seed is? Like, it's been referred to as the smallest of all seeds, and it grows into this really huge bush that's actually a tree, right? He says, if you had faith even as small as this mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, may you be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. You could say that if you had that kind of faith. Walter Kaiser, in his commentary, says, one small work or one small worker plus God's Spirit is always a majority. What's that mean? Like, you with God is like way bigger than anything else. You by yourself, not so good. But you with the Spirit with you is always the majority. You can accomplish way more than you could ever possibly imagine. So God specializes in using small things, small beginnings, to do amazing, spectacular things. And I just want to hit on what four of them that I see, just when you begin to read Scripture and see some of these things, that God loves to use small numbers. Small number. He used 12 guys to change the world. Right? God uses small numbers of things to do amazing things. Remember what he did with two fish and five loaves? Fed over 5,000 people? Small numbers are not small numbers with God involved. God loves to use small people. He loves to use kind of the insignificant people, the kind of people that we just miss a lot of times, the kind of people that we don't really pay much attention to. I think it's one of the reasons why Scripture says that we should become like little children in our faith, that we should be like little small people having that kind of trust and faith. That God loves to use small people to accomplish really big things. Small gifts. We read a parable that Jesus says of a widow who, she goes to give an offering, and she gives like 2 pennies, and he praises that. He says, those 2 small pennies mean way more than these bigger gifts that you're giving, because those bigger gifts that you're giving, I will paraphrase, they're not much, but she's given what she has. So God can take these really small gifts and multiply them and use them for really big things. God loves to use small moments. Small moments. An insignificant little couple in the countryside, in a nowhere place, a nowhere town, gives birth to Jesus, the Savior of the world. That our God, our Lord, our God who put flesh on and came in Jesus, like in this small moment, that there wasn't everybody going, hey, we heard about this, we're all showing up to celebrate this. No, the people that were there were Mary and Joseph and the animals. I mean, can you imagine that small moment that was a really huge thing that changed the world? And we see this all over the place. So the point being is that God loves to use small things to accomplish his purposes. And when he accomplishes those purposes, there will be spectacular results. So let's review. three principles that we see in just a few verses of this obscure little vision that Zechariah is sharing with us, that an angel took him on in the middle of the night in 520 BC, and it's 2019 now. So a small verse, a small caption, a small story from 2,500 years ago that tells us this spectacular story about the very presence of God, the Spirit of God, who will do great things. Zechariah wants us to know that impossible obstacles are incredible opportunity occasions for God's Spirit to supply what we need. Zechariah chapter 4 tells us that God will accomplish his purposes through his people by the power of his Holy Spirit. That is his promise to us. His purposes will come to fruition. And then God loves to use small things to accomplish spectacular results. So don't ever think, it's just me. Oh, I can't possibly do that. It's just my little voice. God uses little voices, little people, little moments, little numbers, little occasions to do spectacular things. Because here's the truth. Here's the bottom line, full line truth that we see throughout Scripture. God says this, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weaknesses. What is he saying? Is that his grace, when we tap in to the power and the possibility and the presence of God in our lives, when we tap in to the very fact that when we become believers in Jesus, the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, God himself comes and takes up residence, we are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. God is with us. He's saying, my grace, that means my power, my possibilities, my goodness, everything about me is all you need. And the second part of that says, when you recognize that, then it's going to work super hard. That it's going to be all the power that you're possibly going to need. So here's my question for you. What's your mountain today? What's your mountain this week? Maybe you've had a mountain that you've been trying to climb that mountain for a long time. Maybe you've been trying to go around that mountain all by yourself. Maybe you've been trying to go up the mountain all by yourself. And again, there's nothing wrong with us doing our part. But maybe that mountain is still there, and you're still down there, because you haven't asked God to help you to get over that mountain, or you haven't asked God to flatten that mountain. Or you did ask God to flatten that mountain. He's like, no, we're going to go on this together, and I'm going to be with you. And you trust in me, I will get you to that other side. It might be a job. Your job right now might be in jeopardy, and you might be wondering, where's that next paycheck going to come from? Or am I going to go to work, and my boss is going to walk into my office this week and say, you know, thank you so much for your service, but I don't need you anymore. Most of our kids are all out of school now, so now it's fun time. But you might be looking for, what's the fall? What's going to happen in the fall? I've got a new friend that I've been trying to share Christ with, and he and I are forming this great friendship, and he's a black belt. I just started Taekwondo. He's a black belt. I'm a little yellow belt. He's 19. I'm a little older than that. And I have just been, don't you laugh at me. So I have been talking to him because, he's going to start at University of Louisville, and they have their orientation this Monday and Tuesday, and I could tell on Saturday he's stressing out about this. I'm like, hey, dude, you know what? You got this. And I'm going to pray that this is going to be such a great experience for you. And it opens these amazing doors. Because he's got a mountain ahead of him. It might not seem like a mountain, but it's a mountain. But what's your mountain? Here's what I want to invite you to do this morning. I want to invite you to be at this place where you're going to say, you know what, God, I'm going to surrender my mountain to you. I'm just going to position myself in front of that mountain, and I want to listen. I want to listen for what you have to say about this mountain. And I want to respond to that. That God, I want to have the faith. Maybe for you this faith thing is like a whole new thing. And you're like, I don't even know how to spell faith. But you're like, maybe I should give that a shot. If you've got a mountain in front of you, then you need the faith to have God either flatten that mountain or to get you over it or around it. And what I want to invite you to do today is to surrender that. To surrender that to the Holy Spirit. To surrender that to the very power and presence of God in your life, and saying, I cannot do this on my own. I need you, God.